Trusting in God seems so easy, you know, after hearing this gospel. You know, look at the flowers and how beautiful they are and all of Solomon's splendor and glory. All of them were adorned more than he was. So the beauty, right? They don't do any work, and they're provided for. They're taken care of. It sounds beautiful. It sounds good, but it is not easy to have radical trust in the Lord, trusting in the Lord at all times, as we hear David say. And in fact, if we look at the context of these readings, beginning with Isaiah, what do the Israelite people say? We hear Zion says, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." So who's Zion? Zion is the Israelite people. Okay, so God's chosen people. And the word Zion referred to God's chosen people kind of in their exalted state. That Zion is the place where they are in close contact with God. They're being protected and completely provided for. It's their glorious state. And so what a contradiction in a sense that it's God's people Zion saying, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." That's some serious desolation. And go to the responsorial psalm. We hear from Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4 are skipped, and then we hear 5 and 6 in the responsorial psalm. Check out verses 3 and 4. It's about the affliction that David's undergoing and murder being spoken about on all sides. Okay? So he's in the throes of trouble, the throes of turmoil. So David, who is one who is so esteemed, right, in the scriptures, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath, and the incredible faith that he had, and we put him on a pedestal in that regard, but look at his own struggle. So what do we do when we hear about all of God's promises and you'll be taken care of, but then on an everyday level, it seems that our lives are a lot of affliction and desolation and a lot of struggle? What do we do? What do we do with that conflict? Are we two-faced? I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. In my guts, in my bowels, I'm doing horrible. I'm really struggling. There's affliction everywhere. Well, it's good to know that close to 3,000 years ago, the same struggles were happening as we have today. Is that we have all of these promises, and we have the promises of heavenly Jerusalem and heaven even beginning now, and God's going to take care of his own. And yet our experience, like the Israelite people, of feeling that God has forsaken me, God has forgotten me, right? So that tension is actually something to be embraced. Something to be embraced. That the promises are here, the beautiful, consoling words, and yet the lived experience could be quite something different. And so what do we do in the midst of that tension? What does David do? So, well, in verses 1 and 2 that we heard for the responsorial psalm, David says what? "Only in God is my soul at rest." Is he on a pedestal proclaiming, "Only in God is my soul at rest. I'm so strong"? No. The first several verses, verses 1 and 2 and verses 5 and 6, are another self-exhortation. He's actually trying to motivate himself. So in verse 5, he repeats what he says in verses 1 and 2. He says in verse 5, "Only in God be at rest my soul." He's like self-talk, you know, pull yourself together. Things are going bad. He's the one who's my shelter. He's the one who is my refuge, my salvation. I will not be disturbed at all. I will not be disturbed at all. That's the last line there. But it's not because he's in a place where he feels secure and safe and protected and provided for. He's feeling exactly the opposite. So he has to motivate himself, you might say, to rise to the occasion. So here's what we have. We have in our lives this tension between what is promised and what is talked about and the blessings of God and the lived experience of turmoil and loss and being forgotten by God and being forsaken by God, maybe even. What do? David says what? You got to exhort yourself. You got to pull yourself together. Think about what athletes do. What do they do? They're talking to themselves on the field at times, right? You got to push through. It's a fourth quarter, right? You got to rise to the occasion. You know, March Madness, it starts, right? On Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. All right. The March Madness of the spiritual life, the season of Lent. It's time to rise to the occasion, to rise above, to fight the battle, fight the challenges, not to get discouraged. This is the normal Christian life, as Monsignor Pope talked about at the mission, is that there is this tension, and so we have to stand up and struggle, and we have to exhort ourselves and motivate ourselves. There is a great, this passage in Psalm 62 here, I think is a great model for parents too, about like, what's the best way, how are you effective with your kids and raising your kids in the ways of faith? You notice those first four verses are all about David working on himself. That he's got to stand up. He's got to overcome the battles, the struggles, the enemies, the opponents. And in the last verse, we hear what? He goes and says, trust in the Lord at all times, O my people. So that's the time he goes from working on himself to he proclaims the message. Here's what you guys got to do. Trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your cares before him. So what's the message here for parents? Well, your job is to raise your children in the ways of faith, to discipline them in the ways of God. And so you have to put out that message of trusting in the Lord at all times. Lay out all your cares before him. But before you do that, before it's going to be effective, that message is going to be effective, you have to do your own self-work. You have to exhort yourself to rise to the occasion. If you don't do that self-work in the beginning, what you communicate to your children is in one ear and out the other. I was on a plane a couple weeks ago. The stewardess, what do? They do the announcements about safety. If the plane's going down, oh, geez, if the plane's going down. And if the oxygen mask falls down, go ahead and put it on your neighbor first. No, right? You put it on your first. You got to take care of yourself first before you're able to take care of your neighbor. So that's what David is modeling here. The hard work in our own spiritual life before taking it out and proclaiming it to others. And this battle, my friends, is fierce. St. Robert Bellarmine, who's a doctor of the church, he talks about how what David is talking about, and if you read verses 3 and 4, which are not in the responsorial psalm, these enemies, he says these vile, violent enemies of desire, he's talking about the interior battles, not people on the outside, come out under the form of the vices. So the seven capital sins. Isn't it true that all of the seven capital sins are in a battle with God for our soul? And so when we hear that verse, only in God is my soul at rest, what the vices are about is saying only in God is my soul not at rest. It's like, I'm going to try to find my rest in gluttony, in food. I'm going to try to find my rest in lust. I'm going to find my rest in power and pride. I'm going to find my rest in vanity, what other people think of me. I'm going to find my rest, which is getting popular today, in anger. Kind of interesting that's where we're keeping our soul at rest. So if you were to draw a circle of your soul and there'd be a chair sitting in the middle, who would be sitting on the chair? Would it be one of the capital sins? They're all attractive. You know, sloth or laziness? Well, those people aren't here today. Okay? And so we're in a fierce battle and working of ourselves to get to the point of only in God is my soul at rest. And so we have here a powerful, important message in regards to the normal Christian life, that it is one of tension between what is promised and is not yet, and our everyday experience that, it really does feel like God has abandoned me at times and has forgotten me. But our movement then is to recognize you're in the right place. You are in the right place. And we have to exhort ourselves to rise to the occasion. And married couples, they're to work and encourage each other. What's the purpose of marriage? To get your spouse to heaven? Are you doing that? Right? And then what? Once you do that, then you can take it out to your children. And then we can find the true rest that our souls are looking for. So, powerful message. All of the readings here this morning could go on and on. But at the root of it is that the battle is for our souls and to find our rest only in the Lord.